by centralizing some of the major aspects, such as how many CIOs actually are there? Do they have budget authority? What we can begin to do is we can have the term chief information officer be uniquely somebody who has budget authority, get the number down to a group that can have not a conference, but a conference call, and they can begin coordinating purchasing. One of the key provisions is the idea that we are one buyer. As one buyer, the federal government should be able to look across all of its purchasing and leverage a purchase made by perhaps a small company and one entity that would suit others. And if that is identical software, buy it at the same price.
What you're kind of talking about is strategic sourcing, though I think there's other pieces to it, and strategic sourcing happens to be a major piece. There is some concern about strategic sourcing, whether the government's limiting competition, whether the government's excluding small businesses, even though they'll tell you, for instance, under office supplies, which is, I know, not IT for mostly sake, 76% of all contracts go to small businesses, but it's a smaller number of small businesses. Does that give you any least concern or give you any kind of idea that maybe we should put something in the bill that says small businesses need to be considered in a major way?
I think this bill is more small business friendly than any other bill you could imagine. For one thing, if you're a small business entity and you get a contract with a particular entity and you develop, whether from open source or proprietary software or even a COTS product is delivered to them, it then under this bill becomes a single purchase consideration, and you can either call or call on other entities that might want to buy the software you've already developed, or in fact encourage a leveraging between entities. So a small company with a small contract can find themselves selling almost overnight to a dozen different entities. One of the things that we think is hurting small business today is the bid process. If you have to go through the whole bid and award process each time as a small entity, you might find it prohibitive. If you go through it once and now your software has a price and availability that can be purchased by other entities as part of this single government purchasing strategy, you can get small orders from dozens of different places in government, including leveraging to the cities and states.
One of the major pieces to the bill is project program management. That's been a problem for more than a decade with government. Talk a little bit about why this bill will be different than previous attempts to improve the program and project management.
Well, first of all, probably the most important thing in this bill is recognizing that there are too many people who get the title program manager report to a CIO who has no budget authority, which means they have no ability to either add money or to kill a program. What we want to do is we want to have real budget authority in less people, so that you have points of accountability. We believe in many cases that would have caused programs that were going awry to be reconsidered, perhaps killed, or at least rerouted by somebody that had the budget authority.
Developing a cadre of program managers, project managers that are experienced, that are qualified, as well as coming up with qualifications and certifications for them, is that something that you see agencies are already doing and this is just kind of codifies it? Or is it something that agencies have taken a step but really not gone far enough?
I think the best point in the bill is we recognize that agencies have done it, but they do it in centers of excellence. One of the things we're trying to do is leverage those centers of excellence, recognize them, and cause the purchasing in a particular area to essentially be done by those best equipped. Many people consider this a written in part to the GSA, and the GSA will often be the purchasing and development expertise area, but we can all understand where in many cases it may be at the Department of Defense or some other agency, including some of our intelligence agencies. We want to be able to leverage that. We don't want to buy and reinvent multiple times for essentially one need.
You did a whole lot of research for this bill. I think more than we've seen in previous bills, not just from your committee, but maybe most committees. You've had multiple hearings. You put the drafts out twice. Where do you see the biggest changes, or what did you hear from industry and government that said, here's the direction we need to go or change from the draft bill, the initial draft bill, to this final introduced bill?
The bill has changed in relatively minor ways, but each of the changes has been more a matter of defining so that individuals can really understand what the bill is doing and what it's not doing. There are some areas of concern that I have to be candid about. Open source software, which is in existing law, which many of our best vendors have built on open source, continues to be an area in which people are concerned that essentially the government's going to not pay again for that which it already bought or which is in the public domain. And to a certain extent, it's true. We don't want to be reinventing the wheel. We don't want to be buying twice for essentially what is available to the public or what we've already purchased and is available in government. It's a major reform. It is one of the areas in which there is some pushback because we hope it creates some real savings. We also believe that building on open source, when possible, causes multiple vendors to be able to enter and compete with their build-ons to a very, very robust base of software.
This would be the first major reform bill for IT since the eGov Act of 2002. Before that, it was Clinger-Cohen. It's been a long time. Do you get a sense that there's one support in other members of Congress? Have you had conversations with the Senate? The obvious follow-on is, what's the chance of it coming law?
We believe that Senator Carper and Senator Coburn are very, very much going to be supportive and work with us. Additionally, what we see is a big education process. Most people look at IT as, well, we all buy it, et cetera. When you start looking at $81 billion and multiple contracts of $1 billion or more that have had to be scrapped, we've got to educate the public that this can be prevented. Additionally, the whole concept that you buy commodities as commodities and buy them better. You buy custom software only when necessary, but build on what you already own to the greatest extent possible. Once educated, we believe we're going to have throughout the Congress what we have on this committee, strong bipartisan support.
Let me shift over to the Federal Information Security Management Act. This is an update to the FISMA bill, again, I think from 2002 as well. It's been quite a while. Talk a little bit about that bill. The major change when I read through it seemed to be around continuous monitoring and risk management. Is that where you see the biggest change from the 2002 version to today?
Absolutely. And the ability to do continuous monitoring and, as you said, risk management, and do it in a much more automated way with our computers of today, to do it in real time is possible, but we need to make sure that it's implemented. And it is one of those challenges that I think everyone that's listening that works on federal computers understands is we need things to never let something slip through. Well, in fact, we need it to not bring the speed of our work to a crawl. One of the challenges we have is that often somebody will go offline because the system they feel is working too slow. That doesn't increase security. Often it reduces security.
One of the things about the Senate is they still are looking at comprehensive cybersecurity. However, you guys on the House side passed multiple cyber bills last year that were kind of piecemeal approach. Do you see any move to at least getting FISMA through with the recognition from Senator Carper, Senator Coburn, that this is a key piece that could make a difference even in the short term?
I believe in the last Congress there were a number of pieces that could have been passed easily in the Senate. I think ours is open, transparent, and we believe that it goes a long way towards saying don't hold us hostage for these reforms, partially because what we're doing, although not without its critics, in fact is part of that trust building that government is just trying to do for security what it can, both within the government section and quite frankly, a pathway to greater security in the commercial section of our economy.